I simply want to read one verse in chapter 16 and then refer you to other passages. And so in chapter 16, look at verse 23. And in that day, ye shall ask me no question. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if you shall ask anything of the Father in my name, he will give it you. That's a broad statement. If you shall ask anything of the Father in my name, he will give it you. Now turn to chapter 4. I simply want to bring the sense out in these passages, and so I'll read verses scattered throughout the chapter. Our Savior is weary. He's sitting at the well of Samaria, Jacob's well, and a woman comes to him, and he says to the woman, give me to drink. Verse 9. The Samaritan woman therefore saith unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, who am a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, everyone that drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up unto eternal life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come all the way hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. Now, chapter 6. The Savior has fed the 5,000. Now, some who benefited by that free meal are conversing with the Savior, and they ask him a sign from heaven. And it says in verse 31, our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. Look at verse 49 for a moment. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. Now look back again at verse 31. As it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat. Jesus therefore said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, it was not Moses that gave you the bread out of heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread out of heaven. And look at verse 35, 34. They said therefore unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall not hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, thou knowest that our hearts rejoice and immediately recognize the words of the Son of God in these passages that we have read. My sheep hear my voice. They will not hear the voice of strangers. We are thankful for the discernment that thou dost give us who have been enlightened by thy Spirit to know that this is the voice of the Son of God who speaks the words of God. There are not all here, perhaps, who are sure of this. But we beseech thee, our Father, that it shall be true when this service is over. Thou dost know that you are not willing that any should perish, and thy Son has sent us into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature, and that is our desire for other men to know Christ as we know him. And so this day, our Father, grant us that which we cannot of ourselves accomplish. The word must be heard. Faith cometh by hearing. So we shall do our part by thy grace in speaking the word. Give us utterance by thy Spirit. And you must prepare the hearts of those who listen, that fruit may be born. Undertake for us, we pray, and let us speak with clean lips and receive the word with clean hearts, because we confess what we are, make us what we should be. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. What one thing may you ask of God and be certain of receiving? There is only one answer. God's free gift of salvation. And let me hasten to add that this is an assurance that is only made to those that are lost. If a Christian said to me, may I ask anything of God and be sure of receiving it? From the verse that I read to you at first, it would sound that way. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name of the Father, he shall give it you. It sounds that way. But I did not take time to read the other verses that tell us the restrictions. It says, whatsoever we ask according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that he's going to hear us because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. John tells us conditions elsewhere. But there is one unconditional statement that I can make, and only to you who are lost, and that is this, that you may be certain of receiving one thing that you ask of God, and that is God's free salvation. I am going back in John's Gospel from chapter 16 rather than going ahead for this reason. I told you in past weeks about Christ's prayer life in the Gospel of John. I spoke in past weeks elsewhere about the disciples' prayer life as taught in the Gospel of John. I told you nothing about sinners and their prayer life in the Gospel of John. I read you a verse, but perhaps you would not connect it with what we are considering this morning. It was said by that blind man whose eyes were now opened, who said, why, herein is the marvel, that you know not whence this man is, and he opened mine eyes. We know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and do his will, him God heareth. Well, if this is so, nobody would ever be saved. If God does not hear sinners, then nobody is ever going to be saved. And that is why I read to you two passages from John's Gospel, and I've taken this liberty, inasmuch as John looks over what Matthew, Mark, and Luke have written. I'm just explaining it in a simple manner, and says, now, they left out this aspect of prayer. They left out this aspect of prayer. What I'm doing is telling you that the synoptists agree with John in their teaching of prayer in the life of sinners. But do not misunderstand. What the man says is correct in one sense, but in another sense it's wrong. We know that God heareth not sinners. I challenge you to show me any sinner that ever cried unto God for salvation and was not heard. Can you tell me one? I know you can. Even those who have no claims upon the Lord Jesus, when they cried to him, not only for salvation, but for other things, he had mercy and compassion. Do you remember that Syrophoenician woman? He said, it's not fitting to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. But when she went away, did she have what she asked for? You say yes. I tell you that no sinner has ever cried unto God for salvation and been refused. And so I say again, what one thing we may ask for and be certain of receiving is God's free gift of salvation. If you have a mind that thinks about the different ways that salvation is presented to us in the Scripture, you say, that's a strange thing. You are talking to me about a sinner praying for salvation. But I remember such verses that the Savior said in John 3:16, that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That doesn't say anything about praying. It says, whosoever believeth on Him. And it says in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life. Do you not understand that salvation does not require a man asking God for it, but believing God? No. That is one way that God presents salvation. In this Gospel of John, He presents many ways of salvation. They all are the same, but He presents them in different ways. Let me ask you this. Is Christ the door? You say, yes. Well then, how do you receive salvation in relation to Christ the door? I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Any word there about believing? You say, no, no. And so at times, when Christ presents Himself as an object of faith, then the way of salvation is believing. When He presents Himself as the door, the way of salvation is entering in. And when He presents Himself and His Father as the great disposer of the destinies of men, like unto that king who, when men approached him or women, he must hold out the golden scepter, then the way of receiving benefits from this one is by asking. Beware of those who say, you have to ask God nothing to be saved. Well then, I must set aside John 4. The Lord Jesus said, if you knew who He was that is talking to you and what the gift of God was, you would ask Him and He would give thee living water. Do you understand? And for the Lord says, you would ask Him. He could have presented it in a different way and said, believe on me. He said to the woman later, woman, believe me. But there are different ways of salvation that God presents to us. And in the Gospel of John, I've given you two portions, and the portions here present man supplicating God for salvation. And I want to tell you two more in the Gospel of Luke. We'll see how time allows as to whether we consider them, but I will tell you what they are, and there are others as well, but I want to bring these to your attention, and they are the parables Christ speaks in Luke 15 and in Luke chapter 18. And in Luke chapter 15, I remember that lost son, when he came to himself, starts thinking of how he is going to be restored to his father's good graces. He says, I will arise and go to my father and will say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Did he ask something? You say, yes. In Luke chapter 18, the Savior is speaking of two men that go into the temple to pray. And, in brief, one of them says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Did that man pray to God? You say, yes. And how did he go down to his home? The Lord Jesus said, that man went down to his home justified. Do you understand? And so now, will you believe me if I tell you that you can trust Christ as Savior and be saved? You can enter through him as the door and be saved, or you can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. They're all the same thing. Here are you in need. You're in a position of disadvantage. And if you go through the door, then you are in a position of advantage. You do not believe, but now you do believe. And at the same time, you have no blessing from God, but you beseech God, and God gives you that blessing. And the one thing that I can assure you is this, that God's ear is ever open to the sinner's cry if that cry is the salvation. I cannot promise you other things. That is a different matter. After you pass from death unto life, then you have different claims upon God. But I can tell all of you sinners out there that you have one claim upon God, and God delights in it. God's voice is open to the cry of sinners who say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, if you say to God, I want you to supply this for me, and I want you to supply that for me, and I want you to bring to my family, I cannot assure you that God will listen to you at all. God may dismiss you and say, you have no claims on me to ask for those things. God, in his grace, may bestow them upon you. But we who are children of God have claims and promises from the Lord Jesus. When he said concerning our relationship to his Father, he said, if you shall ask anything in my name of the Father, he shall give it you. But notice here, it is the child supplicating the Father. And then he says, anything that you ask, you shall receive. And having received salvation, I'm not going to ask God again and again for it. I already have that, but I have needs throughout my life. And now God says, you have a claim upon me. And the Lord Jesus, and I told of these things, they were so thrilling to consider them. In John 14, 15, 16, he tells so much about our claims upon God as his children and what we can expect of God when we pray. But you who are unsaved, just remember this, that the blind man made a correct statement when he said, we know that God heareth not sinners. And it says, the offering and the sacrifice of the sinner is an abomination in the sight of God. All of those things are true. But I tell you that if you have one prayer to God, that is the sinner's prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner, God will hear you. All right, having told you that, understand that the Lord, when he tells about people asking for things that are sinners, he tells them about one thing, and one thing alone, that is life eternal. In John chapter 4, he said, you would have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. And concerning the bread of life, of which they said, Lord, evermore give us this bread, the Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Do you see? Every time it has to do with salvation, and a sinner calls upon God for this salvation, he always receives it if he understands what he's asking for. More of that later. But in these passages, and let's think of them for a moment, in chapter 4, there was a thirsty woman. In chapter 6, there are hungry Jews, and in chapter 15 of Luke, there was a lost son, and in chapter 18 of Luke, there is a publican who is a sinner who wants mercy bestowed upon him. Think of this now. Water and bread and restoration and mercy. And they're all asked for. And they're all received by those who ask in accordance with the manner that Christ speaks of. This is the way that John teaches prayer, not concerning himself now, not concerning the disciples now, but concerning sinners. And what is so beautiful is that God will adapt himself to how you feel. There are so many people who cannot conceive of this, that without saying anything, without doing anything, they simply believe and they're saved. They cannot conceive of such a thing, but that's all that's necessary. And so for that reason, the Lord sets before your mind something that is picturesque. I'm a door. By me, if you enter in, you shall be saved. He presents himself as one whom we may supplicate. You would ask me, and I would give you living water. We can understand that. Why is it that when God says, believe, he that believeth hath eternal life, that's hard to grasp. But if he tells us, if you ask me, I will give it you. And we say, Lord, give me that. And we trust that he fulfills his promise. We can understand it. But I tell you, you are just as saved without saying one word to God as praying to God. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. But he puts it in these parables and in these aspects so that we can understand it better. And that's why we're going to look at it as he sets it forth in the Gospel of John. Salvation coming when sinners approach God in need and in prayer ask him for the thing that they need most. And what he has done in these passages that we have read together is this: to set before us man in all his various needs, showing us that there is only one source to which man can turn to meet that need. And all of these conditions that cause these individuals to cry unto God in prayer, in John 4 and 6 and Luke 15 and 18, all of these conditions are brought about by God, and these feelings are instilled in the heart of man by God, or else you would never call upon the Lord. It would never enter your mind to do that. And the Lord does it so beautifully by using literal words. And yet, when you read these literal words, and they are literal, you say there is more than literality in these words. Let me show you what I mean, first of all. Suppose I told you this: if you drink this water, you will thirst again. Isn't that profound? You say, of course not. Anybody knows that if you drink that water in the glass, you will thirst again. And the Savior said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. That is simple. Don't you understand that what the Savior signified by that water was all that earth could supply to quench the raging thirst that is within the heart of man? Here is a woman, and she has been drinking from the well, and without explaining it, you understand, she had been seeking to quench the thirst of her heart with the various waters of earth. She had drunk again and again, and the Lord Jesus said, if you drink of this water, you will thirst again. You say, why, of course. It was literal, but there was something spiritually significant behind it. Why, of course. It was the earth and all it could afford to man to satisfy that in his heart which is emptiness, which is dissatisfaction. Would you not think that if a woman finds a man and that's what she wants most in life, then she would not seek another? You say, yes. Well, she had one man, and then another, and another, and another, and another, and the one she was living with was not her husband. The Lord Jesus said, if you drink this water, you'll thirst again. And if she got rid of that man with whom she was living, who was not her husband, and went to another and another, the Lord Jesus would say, if you drink of this water, you're going to thirst again and again. I want all of you to understand this who are unsaved. If you are not going to have Christ as Savior, the nearest thing to happiness is finding a woman who loves you and whom you love, to have children and enjoy family life, harmonious family life. It's the best thing on earth. It's the nearest thing to heaven. But if you have all of that, God, by His Spirit, still instills in your heart a feeling of discontent. Because if a wife or a husband and children and lands and houses could bring content, then there would be no need for what God has to give you. But God never lets these things satisfy. And you would think that this woman excelled in having five. But Solomon had 1,000. And he is the one who said, he that loves silver will never be satisfied with silver. And he said, the eye is never satisfied with seeing, and the ear is never satisfied with hearing. Why? Because eternity is in the heart, and God has made it that way. And He gives you the finest things imaginable on earth. But when you have them all, the finest life that man can live apart from God, there is still that discontent, and you will be coming to a well trying to draw waters and satisfy the discontent in your heart with that kind of water. And the Lord Jesus says, you will thirst again. You will thirst again. And then He says this, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water, springing up unto life eternal. And the woman says, sir, give me this water to drink, that I come not hither to draw, and that I'm not thirsty any more. I told you that if any person who was a sinner asked something of God, what certain thing may we ask of God without any doubt that He's going to give it to us? I said, God's free salvation. And the Lord Jesus told her, you would ask Him and He would give thee living water. And the woman said, sir, give me this water to drink. And the woman is still lost. You say, why? You told me that there was one thing I could ask for and be certain of receiving. It was God's free gift of salvation. If you prayed to God and this woman said, sir, give me this water. And now you tell me she's not saved. That's right. Because when she asked for that water, the Lord Jesus had to remind her of something. Something that He says the Holy Spirit is going to remind people of in the coming days. He said, go call thy husband. And how brief she is. Men and women can be loquacious at times. But when the Savior said, go call your husband, she said, I have no husband. And then she would like to get away from the subject. But the Savior said, that's good. That's right. You've had five husbands. And the one that you're living with now is not your husband. You've answered truly. And the woman says, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. There are so many people today who hear about believing, about getting water that's not in the well, and they say, that's what I want. But they've experienced no sense of conviction. They do not understand that the Lord Jesus, without any change of heart, without any repentance, is ever going to give you anything. Salvation is repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells her about this water, but she must be reminded about the emptiness in her heart and the discontent there, but also what causes that discontent and that with which she's seeking to satisfy that discontent. She has to be, as it says, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will convict the world of sin. And this woman must be convicted of sin and righteousness and judgment in the way that is applicable to her as we take that portion. The Spirit must do that to her, and Christ is doing the work Himself with His words in her ears, as the Spirit of God is doing today in the hearts of men when His servants preach the truth. So understand this. The woman, when asking for the water, does not know what she's asking for, because she says, give me this water to drink, so that I thirst not, neither come off the way hither to drink. All she has understood now is that this is water that is indeed marvelous, but it's not the kind of water that the Lord Jesus is explaining to her. She doesn't understand it yet. But then, when He brings out sins and this immorality in which she's living, then she begins to understand. And so that is why I told you that if you ask God for one thing and you knew what you were asking for, He would give it you. But if there are sinners out there and you think that you can have salvation and continue in sin that grace may abound, God forbid is the way that Paul expresses it. No. We who died to sin, how shall we live any longer therein? And there are people today who think that God will give them salvation without any repentance, without any turning from sin, without any bringing forth fruits worthy of repentance. They think that they can continue in sin and just say, all right, you said you would give me the water, give it to me. They are looking for some other physical satisfaction to fill that void that they have not been able to fill with all of the physical satisfactions they've had. Well, maybe God will give me some physical satisfaction. By no means. This living water, and I cannot go into detail, according to chapter 7, is the Spirit of God and all that He brings with Himself as the gift. He brings salvation. He brings the fruit of the Spirit. All that is implied in the Spirit of God, this is what Christ promises in that living water. Let me tell you why. I wanted to explain this and read this verse, and I must. You'll find that Christ said similar words in Matthew 7 and in Luke chapter 11. He said, which of you, having a child and asking for things, and he explained that they would be given to them, and then he adds this, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? And in Matthew it says this, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him? And so good things, how can that be summed up in a word? What is the summing up, the totality of good things? The Lord Jesus said, the Holy Spirit of God, who comes with salvation, who comes with an unfolding of the person and work of Jesus Christ, who comes with every blessing of God, for the love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And so, if He speaks of good things, He can, in a word, say, why, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, and so Christians do not ask for it anymore, and Pentecost is past, and we do not ask for it anymore, but as a figure of summum bonum, totality of that which is good, the greatest good, we would say, I want this living water. And that is, you must be born of the Spirit. And the Spirit imparts the new life, and then He brings all other things to you. He brings all the gifts to you, because it is the earnest of the Spirit. And the Lord Jesus said, all of these things are yours for the asking. But until you understand this, if you think that God is just going to give you some other soulish, some physical satisfaction to supersede that physical satisfaction that you're quite trying to squeeze out of life, the Lord Jesus will have to add, go call your husband. He will have to bring out the fact that you have not understood about sin as yet. You do not know why that discontent is in your heart. But once you do, then when you say, now I understand, Lord, I want you to give me that water. And then you will not talk about thirsting anymore for water like this and in the well and going all the way hither. You will understand that He's speaking of the forgiveness of your sins and salvation and all things that are yours after you receive Christ as your Savior. That's what He wants that woman to understand. And He said, all you have to do, if you ask of me, then I will give you living water. Understand this now. In John 6, the Savior has performed a miracle. He fed 5,000. And the Jews say to Him, show us a sign. Isn't that remarkable? A man with 5 loaves and 2 fishes has just fed 5,000 people. And others come up to Him and say, we want a credential. We want to know that you are supernatural. That you, do you have any credentials? And so they want another sign. And they speak about Moses. Yes, you did it for 5,000, but Moses gave manna in the wilderness, 40 years in the wilderness. And the Lord Jesus said, it was not Moses that gave you that manna, and not only so, but all of they that ate the manna, they ate it and they died. He said, I am the bread of God, and if a man eats me, he shall live forever. And he explained that to them. And I must tell you this, that having explained it to them, they did not understand. But when Christ spoke about the bread, if you'll eat the bread that I give you, then you will never hunger and you will never thirst. And immediately, they, in the same spiritual condition as the woman, say, Sir, evermore give us that bread. They have not understood. The Lord Jesus had accused them previously. You do not seek me because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and your belly was filled. That's the reason. And now, the Savior is talking about them having a bread that is far superior to the manna that Moses gave them in the wilderness. And they say, we want that bread. If there's anything physical, let me understand this. There is insecurity in the human heart. What man needs today, if he could only get a bread supply. You see, we wonder, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? That is anxiety. And here is man in his insecurity. And they were following the Lord Jesus everywhere because he fed them. And when he did feed them, they said, we're going to take him forth and make him king. And the Lord Jesus had to flee from them. And so here they are with all of their physical understandings again. And they say to him, Sir, evermore give us this bread. Give it to us now and give it to us tomorrow. Give it to us forever. Now we have security for these hearts that have anxiety. And the Lord Jesus has to explain to them more and more. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They would be quite satisfied for Christ to give them physical bread and sustain them for the rest of their physical lives. But the Lord Jesus is talking about spiritual life. And to show that they did not understand, when Jesus finished telling them what he meant, it said many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. But they said, Sir, evermore give us this bread. I told you that there is one thing that you may ask and be certain of receiving, and that is God's free gift of salvation. But I did not promise you any material thing, but I promised you God's free gift of salvation. And so if you want your sins forgiven, if you want that emptiness removed from your heart and replaced by the person of Jesus Christ, if you want something like that, not earthly bread, but that heavenly bread, Christ himself who came down from heaven and gave his body and blood for you upon the cross, if you want that, then you ask of God, and God will give it you. That one thing you need is salvation. Ask of God, and God will give it you. Time is gone. Let us pray. We are thankful that thou didst send one from heaven who can give water to those that are thirsty and bread to those that are hungry and can bestow mercy upon those that are convicted of sin and can give restoration to those who are longing to go back to their Father. We are thankful that all things are in thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So help us to understand what is causing us to long and feel lonely and sad and uncertain. Let us know what it is, and then let us speak to thy Son and ask for water and bread, and he will give us bread and water, the likes of which the earth knows nothing. Convict us in our hearts, Father, and let us call upon the name of the Lord and fulfill thy promise. We shall be saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, we pray. Amen.